Hello, hello, hello. It's time for the podcast for the Sagittarius new moon. And as a Sagittarian, I always get very excited about this one. I do have Sun, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Ascendant in Sagittarius, and a couple of asteroids, Pallas Athena and Juno, particularly. And also, asteroid Louise is exactly conjunct my Sun. Can you believe it? Those asteroids are crazy sometimes. But anyway, the new moon is going to be on December the 12th, 2023, at 6:32 p.m. Eastern. So that's on the East Coast. So that will be 3:32 p.m. Pacific, 4:32 p.m. Mountain, 5:32 p.m. Central Time, and 11:32 p.m. Universal Time. So this means that this new moon will be on December the 13th for some of you further ahead, Australia and places particularly. Please adjust for your time zone. So anyway, this new moon is going to be at 20 degrees 40 minutes Sagittarius on December the 12th, just before my solar return. Oh, so I'm looking forward to this new moon. And Mercury is going to station retrograde the very next day, or just a few hours after the new moon. So Mercury is actually just 1 minute away from the retrograde station point on this new moon. However, I would not let that kind of well, the excitement, because this is a very aspirational, idealistic, exciting new moon, in my opinion. And I think you'll agree when we look at the numbers and the aspects to the new moon. But first of all, before we start, please check below and subscribe to my channel. Give me a thumbs up. And also, leave me a comment. I love to hear from you. And I always am very grateful for all of you that watch my videos, that give me those thumbs up, that leave me those comments. You might want to check that little bell as well to get notified when I upload new content. But one other thing before we dive into this new moon is that because this is 2 days before my birthday, I will be reopening my membership, my private membership community on my birthday. Yes, even though it's Mercury station, because the community told me to. So it's now going to be called The Nest. It's going to have new offerings. So watch out for that. There will be a link below that will not be active until it reopens, but I'll be talking about that more as we go along. Okay, so first of all, this new moon is at 20 degrees and 40 minutes of Sagittarius, so it is a two. And a two in numerology is really the number of the divine feminine. It is the silent knower, the calm, just, intuitively aware peacemaker. Very social, very kind of, receptive, relating to the moon and the High Priestess cards in the tarot. So it's very much about the divine feminine. And it's a Monday card, so moon day, for a new moon, even though this is actually on a Tuesday. But anyway, the number two is really kind of the diplomat, the artist, as I said, the peacemaker, gentle, kind, charming, insightful, sensitive, and a team player, very spiritual in nature. And very graceful. That's another good word for it. So even though this is Sagittarius and very exciting, it's got this beautiful, beautiful quality to it that is so sensitive and idealistic as well. So it couldn't be better. You know, this is basically my solar return. So hey, I'm excited about that. So let's, before we look at the chart, let's think about the energy of Sagittarius, because this is a very fiery new moon in many ways. However, there is a lot of water and earth as well in the chart. So it's quite balanced regarding the elements in a lot of ways. But this is a new moon conjunct Mars. We're just 7 degrees from Mars. And since it's conjunct the luminaries, I am going to say it's conjunct. Also, Ceres is still not far behind Mars. So those three, the Sun, Mars and Ceres have been traveling together for a while. They're moving further apart by the time of this new moon, but they're still kind of working together in the same sign. And this moon is also in an exciting trine to the North Node and Eris, who are having their exact conjunction on the 27th of November, as I record this on the 26th. And they're still within orb, as you'll see when we look at the chart. So there's a lot of fire, of creation, of passion, idealistic. So Sagittarius is really about aspiration towards an ideal. Okay, it's got this desire for adventure, an experience of the divine, an experience of life. Sagittarius, I should know, loves to experience life and get out there and really learn by experience rather than learning by books, even though we do love books too. The key word really for Sagittarius is I understand or I know. It's got this kind of knowing kind of energy. And it really does kind of like higher philosophies, higher knowledge, higher learning, and that questing kind of energy. And with Mars pushing this new moon from behind in a fire sign where Mars is extremely comfortable, you are going to be really kind of questing for some kind of ideal. Now, you know, the shadow of Sagittarius is sure there can be a little bit reckless, a little bit over the top and tactless. But let's look at the good side of the questing kind of energy, questing for that vision, questing for that ideal. So it's a lovely, lovely new moon. Now let's have a look at the chart. Okay, so where's my, I lost my Zoom. Okay, so we'll look at the chart now and we'll look at it on a PDF. So I've done some highlighting. So you can see that this is 12, 12. Okay, so we've got ones and twos there and a three. So we've got 1, 2, 3, and it's still a 7 year. So it's really kind of a bringing together of one, the divine masculine and new beginnings, two, the divine feminine, and three, in creation of bringing things together in that ideal kind of energy. Now you can see we've got quite a lot of aspects to this new moon. And even I'm actually even going to add Chiron too, because brought in by the conjunction with Mars. And because, yeah, I just am. So all of this Sagittarius energy is trying this Aries energy. And that, if you think about flames, phoenix, burning off, creation, passion, drive, will to the future, drive to kind of create, be the change you want to see in the world. I think that's what I keep getting for that North Node in Aries, to be part of the healing that we need, with that Mars pushing us along, as I said, and with Ceres coming up behind too, saying this, you know, we have to kind of quest for what really, really nurtures us and feeds us. Okay. And then we also have This is really at the midpoint between the new moon and Eris in the North Node, pretty much. This is Hygieia in Aquarius in the sign of the people. And this, to my mind, Hygieia is preventative health. She's kind of got this seer quality. What can we do to create holistic health in Aquarius? This is about our nervous systems, both individually and as a collective. If you think about all the nerve endings really kind of connecting out and out and out to each other, how when we touch our nerve endings and things, how can we create and harmonize this collective kind of connection of nerve endings with each other? And another way of nerve seeing the nerve, calming the nervous system, is this global connection network, really, you know, whether it's on the internet or in the unconscious, but it's all connecting humanity. And Aquarius as well, in many ways, is kind of the quantum wave theory and all those kind of sciences that are discovering that we actually are really connected by all these kind of nerve endings and pathways and of networks. So we've got this beautiful air and fire here, really kind of connecting it all together. And then we've got more air here with the South Node, which is that, I keep mentioning it, about letting go of that codependence, that playing nice and smoothing things over behind the social artifice. And this is saying, you know, really kind of stand up for yourself now with this fire and air, this wind and fire, really fanning the flames of creativity, of passion, and bringing it forth. Oh, excuse me. Now, the closest aspect to this energy, to this new moon, is actually a square to Juno. Juno is the sacred contracts asteroid, often called the marriage asteroid, but Juno was more than just about marriage. She was about our connected relationships. She was also the goddess of women and children. And she's in Virgo, the sign of the priestess, or the sign of one who is whole unto herself. And this is all mutable. Sagittarius, mutable. Juno, mutable, saying it's time to change, to feel that interconnectedness. And then the new moon is also square to Neptune in Pisces, who will leave that sign in 2025, but is still there and is really kind of saying, don't forget this collective unconscious and your connection with source, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, and finding out that it's actually within, going for that ideal of really kind of a higher spiritual place in the world that is not reliant on you know, priests and pastors and ministers and people telling you what to do. Just knowing this belief and faith, and knowing that we are really, really connected. Now, I forgot to show you the card, so I'm going to come back to this chart in a minute, because the card is really relevant, and I pulled the Seer of Torches. Look at the butterflies as well, which is very much, well, the torches are fire, they are the wands, okay? And the seer, of course, is, you know, a kind of prophet in a way, seeing the future. And butterflies are transformation, but flying objects are also ideas, and they are going around the head. And the card for I Am Divine in the Red Seeds Tarot is I Am Divine. This is about knowing that you are divine, that everything is within you. And this is Be the Flame, Not the Moth by Casanova. That's a quote from. And I want to read you the Homeric hymn to Demeter. How funny that I'm writing a book on her. But now there is no way for him to avoid death and doom. Still, he will have a time that is unwilting for all time, because he had at once sat on my knees and slept in my arms. Homeric hymn of Demeter. So this is actually about Demeter or Ceres. And the climax of the Eleusinian mysteries that climaxed with the rebirth of the divine child from the great fire, mirroring the myth of this seer, which is Demophon, a mortal demigod. Okay. So you are being literally, your divine child is being born from this great fire. So in the soul journey for this card, the seer is enigmatic and embodies strength, courage, sexuality, and beauty. He knows it, but not always in a narcissistic way. He carries his magnetic ego self proudly, and others are attracted to such energy. This is a time for prioritizing your deepest passions as the flames of enthusiasm and inspiration light the way to help us to follow our true path. Others notice our luminescence and we feel confident as others gravitate towards us like a moth to light. Our inner fire burns strong. This is the fire of our self. We are radiant. We are all special. And this is really what this new moon is about. You are special. Go for your ideals. Let your light radiate. Radiate your excitement. Radiate your passion. Radiate your joy. Not in that, look at me kind of way. Just because you're pursuing your quest, your joy, your ideals, your vision. And let's go back to the new moon again. But just a quick reminder to subscribe, okay? So I've looked at the fire and I've looked at the air and I've looked at this T-square. And so, you know, this is a change. This is change, creation, passion. But underlying, I don't know if you can see. First this, we have an Earth grand trine here. Jupiter is the planet that is the ruler of Sagittarius, and Jupiter is retrograde in Taurus, heading towards the station direct at the end of the year. And Jupiter on this new moon is in a Earth grand trine with Hecate, the lady of the torch, who shows you your way at the crossroads, shows you your path, and then Black Moon Lilith in Virgo as well. And then we have stationed Mercury in Capricorn next to Centaur Pholus, who is the Pandora's box and things. And this is earthy. This is like earthy manifestation, making things real and showing you that your path is actually in your earthly presence, not in some kind of reaching for some ascension. We are here to descend into our bodies, into ourselves, and to recognize that we are these divine beings on earth, here to do our best and now be our highest self according to our own astrology chart or what we were born with. Mercury will bring some ideas. Jupiter will bring this sense of growth and expansion. And Hecate is showing us the way, and Black Moon Lilith is saying, get down to that raw and elemental self that you truly are. So I love that Earth grand trine. It does have some outlet with Venus, which is the ruler of where Jupiter is, in Scorpio, conjunct Pallas Athena, saying, you can look deep into the dark, into your inner gold, to find your own inner gold and really learn to love your inner light in the depths of Scorpio. But wait, there's another grand trine too. So look at this. We have Saturn in Pisces, now heading towards second degree, after spending an inordinate time at the 0 degree of Pisces, in a trine to Vesta, the inner flame. And that's in a trine to Haumea in Scorpio, the creatrix, the goddess of creation, the Hawaiian goddess, a mother of all of their pantheon of gods. And this is in water. This is in surrender and emotions and self-care and tuning into that inner voice and intuition. But it's also about going within and learning to tune into those emotions, and by self-care, lots of self-love and self-care, and paying attention to how those emotions manifest in your body. You know, I've been busy reading a lot of books, and there's one, I haven't read this one yet, but there's The Body Keeps the Score. There's Gabor Mate's new book, The Myth of Normal. And really, all this earth and water grand trine is about getting in touch with how your body reflects emotions within you, and really kind of tuning in to the messages of your body and those emotions, from everything to, am I really hungry? Do I feel really hungry? When something kind of upsets me, or I watch something upsetting on the news, where do I feel it in the body? And then learning to express that, okay, and to become more whole. And this is what this whole new moon is, really. It's you know, it's so integrated and so creative. All right, now one aspect I had not mentioned, which I'm going to now, is that the new moon is in an almost exact quincunx to Uranus in Taurus. And that is also kind of liberation, breaking old patterns, aha moments, breakthroughs, sometimes a bit of a breakdown to get there in the dark of the moon, maybe. But I don't think so, really. This feels like a real new beginning, even with Mercury at a standstill, which I think gets overhyped in so many ways. I think Mercury's standstill on Pholus, the centaur that is kind of like Pandora's box, takes the lid off things, is going to kind of really clarify your thoughts about the boundaries and containers and structures you want to create on this visionary new moon as we move forward into this amazing year of change. Incidentally, my 2024 preview webinar is available as a download to purchase as well. That will be in a link in the description too. So it's just a fabulous, fabulous new moon to my mind. It's got this seer quality. It's got this preventative health quality. It's got this, I'm looking further into the future and seeing what I want to create. It's visionary. Remember, it's a no moon though, a new moon. So the energy won't start to pick up for a couple of days, and when the moon starts to gain light after the new moon. But when it does, with Mars pushing that new moon behind, it's going to be kind of off the charts, to be honest. You kind of might feel like, hold my horses. Am I supposed to be having in the holidays here and taking time off because I want to do this and I want to create that? And anyway, it's all a lot about truth speaking as well, of course, with it being in Sagittarius. But it's about wonder with an O and wonder with an A. So wonderment, feel the sense of wonder on this new moon. I couldn't be more excited because it's my solar return. So let's have a look at the symbols for this new moon. Okay, and again, don't forget to subscribe. Now the Sabian symbol, we go up, if you remember, is 21 Sagittarius, and that's a child and a dog wearing borrowed eyeglasses. Now, that's kind of a weird symbol in a way, except it isn't to my mind. Now, you know, the Sagittarius symbol is often the centaur, half man, half horse. So we've got half animal, half human here, but we've got, you know, the element of youth as well. The child's eyes wearing borrowed sunglasses, seeing things in a new way, because somebody's borrowed eyeglasses, that, you know, the prescription won't be quite right. It will be a little bit kind of off. You'll start to see things how other people see them. And it's kind of really coming to a level of consciousness that may be a little out of focus and things, and to be able to look beyond in a way, to see the way forward through a different perspective that's a little bit distorted, see things differently, see new possibilities. That's my interpretation of this symbol. I kind of like this, but I like the fact it's a child and a dog. So it's bringing together that kind of human and animalistic kind of side of that we really are together, all coming together in one. And then we get the Chandra symbol, which is just gorgeous. And that is toads singing at night. X marks the spot, plugged into universal currents of energy and awareness. You listen and look towards the collective universal voice and resonance, pervasively sensing how the inner worlds synchronize with the outer worlds, a magical shamanic realm in all respects, working from the sacred circle and the cone of light, alchemical transmutation from state to state and world to world, in touch with the borderline, hugging the edges. You feel especially keen to taste and feel what needs to happen, what wants to arise, tapping the pulse of the times and speaking for all of those who stay tuned in for further developments. That's like kind of shamanic oracle, kind of tuned in, connected kind of energy with those animalistic voices singing to you, those universal currents in the night, which is very much of those earth and water grand trines coming together. Quite beautiful. And then I just want to also read you what that was Elias Lonsdale's interpretation of the Chandra symbols. I just also want to read you what John Sandbach says about this degree as well, because he is the one that channeled the Chandra symbols. So he said, toad singing at night again. There are energies which are calling to all of us all the time. As we grow more sensitive and more ready, the volume of these calls is turned up, or rather our attention becomes increasingly attuned to them, which causes them to seem to magnify. But then he says, even when engulfed by darkness, uncertainty and alienation, our own kind is out there calling to us, sending us messages of hope and encouragement, if only we can let ourselves hear it, to realize such things progressively as we evolve is miraculous. Right. So it's just amazing. I mean, in some ways, in some ways, the Sagittarius energy is the guru, kind of the visionary shaman connected to all these kind of realms and this knowing and this inner understanding. And that takes me back to the key word for Sagittarius being I understand. So put on your borrowed spectacles, kind of look at the world with, there's a thing called second attention, right? There's a thing called second attention in shamanic practices. And it's where, you know, you kind of look at something and make that rational sense of it, as we humans love to do. And then you kind of look away and look back at it quickly and see it with a different eye. Or you look at it out the corner of your eye and it looks slightly different. That second attention, it's kind of tuning into a different energy of whatever it is you're paying attention to in the world. Now we're clearly being called and called more and more to kind of enter these shamanic realms, or re-enter them, shall we say, because we have lost that connection. And my chart is like attuned to it, which is why I do shamanic journey work and more in my private membership community and my Venus retrograde classes and other classes. But I really, well, come join me, you know, when the community reopens on December the 14th, on my birthday, come and join us and really get attuned to this understanding of the world in a very different way, a new, more aligned and connected kind of energy. Okay, so I hope you will consider, because it's actually pretty exciting. So, and I do want to tell you that just something really kind of wild that I have realized with my solar return. Okay, I have a 0° Virgo ascendant, which is pretty wild. That's a very strong degree. And I have Uranus at 4 minutes from the top of my chart on my Uranus square year. I am going to be kind of having breakthroughs galore, changing patterns, all those kind of things. It's wild as anything, my solar return chart. I might post it somewhere, probably. Yeah, I'll see where. So you can all tell me what you think about it. But anyway, could I be more excited? Probably not. No. So I hope you get the enthusiasm and the fire and the passion and the vision and the idealism that I feel coming from this new moon. And until next time, so much love to you and my gratitude as always for you tuning into my videos and my podcast.